To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Dirt Ends Break continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Sprague.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in the second hour, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Happy Football Friday, everybody. Dirt and Sprague here. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube, youtube.com/105.1. The Fan. We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We talked with Jamarcus Shepherd in the first hour. That was great.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Give me a wall. I'll run through it.
I'm excited. We'll see what comes of that the next couple months. And you mentioned the portal thing to him, and I think that's a fascinating angle of all of that as well. And we'll bring some of the audio back probably the final hour, third hour. We'll see.
You got to figure out how many guys you want to purge from your roster, how many you feel like you could actually go get in the portal. There's a delicate balance there.
He certainly didn't take the Deion Sanders, I'm bringing my luggage and it's Louis, when he talked about this year's roster.
No.
He's going to evaluate all the guys, and then they'll go through everything together and try to figure that out. Shahan J. Araja writes for CBS Sports nationally covering college football. He'll join us at the bottom of this hour. So that'll be our daily ticker today. We start the second hour, though, with leakage.
Leakage.
We got leaked audio, Dirt.
When it leaks, it's not good. We got to find the leakers.
So I'm a little hesitant here because I'm getting closer and closer to being conditioned to not believe the internet. Mm. Now, I know it's not AI.
No, it is not AI.
And I want to believe this is indeed Penn State Athletic Director Pat Kraft, this leaked audio.
Yeah, I think you have to say reportedly this is Pat Kraft, but there are Penn State people who are now coming out and commenting on this, and there has not been anybody inside that circle that says that's not Pat Kraft. Now, I've never heard Pat Kraft talk before, but I imagine if you're a Penn State fan, you know what your athletic director sounds like, and you would have said that's not him if you could. So,
yeah, but then we found out Abdul Carter probably wasn't watching porn. Like,
that wasn't
fake.
Very believable. That was
Sukanik straight up said it's believable.
Is it really?
Saw players do it when he played.
Just hanging out watching porn in the meeting.
You didn't think that was believable?
I mean, not without your headphones on in a team meeting of all the things they get suspended for. Maybe I'm naive there.
They're football players.
I know they're football players. You got a lot of time on your hands to watch porn.
I know, but
go home and watch porn.
Also, they're football players.
Watch porn before you go to bed.
They don't always think,
wake
man.
Up in the morning and watch porn.
Always thinking there. You're right on the Pat Kraft stuff. So far, we haven't seen anybody be able to refute the audio. So this is leaked audio. There's a 35-minute video on the internet.
It's a meeting he had with his players. It's the players at Penn State that are in this meeting.
Yeah, so this is the Penn State roster post-James Franklin. This is recently.
What are the 13 guys left? Who the hell do they even have anymore?
Well, basically, and like he's asked questions by the players there. He's calling out his own roster and saying they're lacking in this position and that position. Anyways, the audio gets leaked. Everybody's been talking about it. And here is AD Pat Kraft. If give you a glimpse, about 29-second cut. He talked about a million different things in this 35-minute leaked audio. Here's 30 seconds of what he talked about.
Ohio State's Ohio State, but it's not like they're way light years better than us talented-wise. Just can't been able to get over the hump. Michigan stinks. Joke. Cheated their balls off. That's real, by the way. They did. Oregon? Quarterback was shaking and over. But we have to win those games.
So it's a little hard to hear there. It's better to listen to it, I think, on a laptop or phone device. Yeah. But basically, he calls out all these teams. The only one he doesn't really say negatively about, I think, is Ohio State.
Yeah, he said it's not like they're head and shoulders above us. The gap isn't that big between us and Ohio State. Maybe 2 years ago that was true, but right now, buddy, good luck.
Check the rosters and recruiting rankings. Get back to me on that one, Pat Kraft.
Montana has a better recruiting class than you right now, Chief.
Only thing he did in this that I heard was I did enjoy him calling Michigan a bunch of cheaters. That's true. That's accurate. But he called your team fraudulent.
Yeah, he went up. There's more in there. It's 35 minutes, as you pointed out. He says, what is there to do in Oregon? There's nothing to do there. Makes fun of the Nike money. Says, we're not.
They are Nike school.
Exactly. Basically says that, you know, Ohio State and Michigan are true national title contenders. Oregon is fraudulent. That's why they'll never win a national championship. That quote is in there as well.
Yeah. Dante shaking in overtime.
Oregon had the ball twice in overtime in your stadium and scored touchdowns twice. One time on the first play of the drive, a play action pass to Gary Bryant.
But he was shaking.
Didn't turn the ball over.
Look, there is some belief that he actually might end up getting some kind of a Hail Mary win with maybe a Matt Campbell or something.
That is certainly the steam right now. Matt Campbell is the guy, and we'll see if he's the latest to just get an extension with his new school and say no, because I wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole right now.
You know, and I like Matt Campbell. I think what he's done at Iowa State has been amazing. I'm not going to be ready to anoint that some slam dunk, it's going to work higher. There's going to be a little bit of a fit there where you got to wonder, is that guy truly good for that job? That being said, man, like, I kind of think it's almost become a universal opinion of they have flubbed this. And I'm wondering today for the Penn State fans that have heard this audio that are embarrassed by this, because how are you not?
There's actually been a lot of support for him that I've seen from Penn State people.
Over this video?
They like that he's coming out and fighting and showing that he cares and showing that he's passionate. That's just, I wouldn't have that take, but that's the take that I've seen from some Penn State people.
I'll go check the Reddit page to see if I'm yeah. seeing a lot of that support, but like, this is a bad look for you. You better nail this higher. Otherwise, like, your job's probably on the line.
I mean, I would say it should be on the line because he fired a head coach, paid him $50 million, and I know the buyout was eventually dropped because Franklin took the job at Virginia Tech. By the way, he took shots at Virginia Tech's recruiting class, essentially saying the guys that Franklin stole from us, none of them were top 100 recruits, so who the hell cares anyways? Trying to deflect the point that they, again, have only two kids currently signed.
Then they jumped to top 25.
They have a top 25 class in the country. That's 125 spots higher than where Penn State's current class is. This to me was the epitome of you're mad at your dad, you're not mad at me. Like, you were lashing out because you are now fearful of losing your job. You're taking shots at everybody and trying to deflect where your program is realistically at because you fired your head coach without a plan to replace him. And you thought you were some dream destination school. And so far, every single coach that you have tried to hire is either A, taking a job somewhere else, or B, signed an extension with their current school. There was a hilarious tweet I saw yesterday, and it was the picture of Noah Whittington with the fumble, no fumble play. Like, it was his knee down. Mm. And essentially said, this blade of grass has led to like $300 million in contract extensions for coaches around the country. Because that's the way people are treating the Penn State job. To your point on Matt Campbell, we all know he's a good coach. I got a buddy that's on the staff there. He raves about him, loves him. Like, that is the ultimate question, though, of can a guy who is a great, you know, developer of talent and diamond in the rough, and I'm going to win 8-9 games, and that's awesome for Iowa State, can you scale up? Like, we've had a little bit of this in other jobs. Jonathan Smith was this at Oregon State, and then you go to Michigan State, and it didn't work out for him. I have no clue how Matt Campbell would do. I don't even know if Matt Campbell wants the job, because,
he's following Penn State-esque people, is what people are finding about his socials. He's starting to follow it, so it looks like that's the steam.
They're going to throw a ton of money at him, because yes. they have no other option at this point, and they have to severely overpay to go get somebody.
Which is hilarious.
Again, the scale-up of a job, like, it's a totally different job than Iowa State. I think he's an awesome coach. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, but now you're swimming in the recruiting pool with Ohio State, Oregon, USC, and Michigan. And can you out-recruit them and get guys to Penn State? Because it ain't 1985 anymore.
I also love that, because DeBoer was doing a press conference yesterday, and he's like, I've never even talked to them.
Yeah, that's been that, you know, bubbling under the surface. DeBoer's their guy. They're just waiting for the SEC title game. It doesn't look like it, Bob.
So the AD of Penn State, Pat Kraft, caught just talking a lot of S, Oregon, one of those programs, which I, you know, you can get mad about what he's saying. I'd view it more as a compliment. Yeah, that's what I would say.
We get to play them, not every year, but quite often going forward. We're 2-0 against them. And you think the next time we play Penn State, Dan Lanning's not going to have that fraudulent clip in a pregame speech to his team?
Now, what are we going to think if we find out this is fake? Like, this is what my whole point is. Like, I already have given my opinions on Kraft and how Penn State's handled this. So, like, I'm not adding any more to my opinion.
Sure, it's the same. He's in over his head, and he's done a terrible job.
I'm more just, like, curious, like, what if we find out this is fake? I'm almost done with wanting to take anything I see or hear on the internet.
Well, I think the other side of it, too, is, you know, there should be a punishment. As much as we enjoy it from a content perspective, this is highly illegal. Like, you can't record somebody without their knowledge of it. And somebody inside that, me, that's already been the first take from a lot of people there of like, I'm not mad at Pat Kraft. I'm mad at whoever was the one that recorded it and released the audio.
Yeah.
It goes on for 35 minutes, though. So that tells, I mean, unless somebody's got a lot of time and effort on their hands to make a 35-minute AI fake speech video that sounds like it was recorded on a cell phone, I genuinely believe that this is real and it got leaked because I think there's people inside that building that are frustrated with how this is all playing out, and they're trying to undermine him. I think this is a concerted effort to publicize these comments in hopes that it leads to his dismissal, because, again, the guy has no clue what he's doing, and it's been a disaster.
Yeah, for the most part, too, I'm on their Reddit page. There is a lot of support for him. There's also some people saying, like, I just read the transcript because I'm not listening to a 35-minute. This is right. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
And there's some people like, yeah, this is definitely embarrassing.
You're in no place to be taking shots at other programs who are atop your conference right now.
Yeah, given everything that's happened with you.
Dude, you're about to slip down that ladder, and I don't know how many years. Maybe Matt Campbell does it in 2 years, but I don't know about that. You're going to have to portal in an entire new team. Good luck climbing back up, because Washington just added a top 15 recruit class. USC might have the top class in the country. Ohio State's not going anywhere. Michigan is loaded again. Oregon is loaded. Like, good luck, man. Good luck the next couple of years.
We'll get into some NFL, but we're going to stay in college football. Shahan J. Araja joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. I ask this question as we go to break. What will be the best of the weekend? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk a little college football with our good friend Shahan J. Araja. No Oregon game this week. No dirt on site or at a location.
No, it's an actual weekend off. Haven't met a lot of those since August.
Yeah, you and Swag both talking earlier this week how excited you are for your off weekend.
2 days in a row off. What's that feel like? We'll find out this weekend.
I get Sunday off.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you got to work tomorrow?
This afternoon and tomorrow. Pilot women play BYU on Saturday at 5.
Yeah, when they leave, it'd be BYU.
Ooh.
Let's hope so.
Take them down, baby.
We got conference championship week here.
We do.
We have not dove into these games much. We've talked about, I talked about how bummed I am that we're poo-pooing these games. I understand it from a lot of different angles, but.
Yeah, you got two tonight, by the way. Almost back-to-back, one on ESPN and one on ABC at 4 and 5 o'clock.
I like that these games mattered at one point, and it should be a great achievement that you win your conference championship game. Which game's going to end up being the best of the Power Four conferences and the Group of Six determining factor, North Texas?
Group of Six game, Tulane.
The North Texas Tulane game has to be the should best. Be,
you know what James Madison's favored by in the conference title game? They play today at 4 o'clock.
20?
23 and a half.
23
They're
and
playing
half.
Troy.
Oh, so, Troy's, you know, like 8-4?
8-4 Troy. Yeah. So James Madison is expected to blow them out despite their coach.
That could be over just about the time the next game begins.
Right. You guys think that's going to actually be the best game, because the result matters a great deal. I'm asking just what's the best game.
So I think the best game is going to be Alabama-Georgia. I know that Alabama has their number, and so them winning again wouldn't surprise me in the least. It shakes up the rankings, but even when they played earlier this year in Athens, what was the score? 24-21, I want to say, was the final, and each team had a chance, missed some deep shots and all that stuff. I've actually kind of taken to heart what you have said this week, because you're right. Like, these games used to mean more, and it's a bummer that some of them we kind of go in and say, oh, there's nothing on the line, no stakes. And I was reading up on this yesterday. There was a piece that somebody in Indiana wrote, because it was stemmed off of the – have you seen the ticket prices for the Big Ten title game?
Yeah, like the cheapest ticket is like $800 to get in.
And then you connect the dots that it's in Indianapolis, so Indiana fans are – right. Indiana's never played in a Big Ten title game before. They have not won an outright conference championship since 1945, but I was reading through it, and it was essentially the argument that you're making from the Indiana perspective of how can people say this game doesn't mean anything? You know how long it's been since Indiana's beaten Ohio State?
Oh, 82?
70s?
Well, do the math. 37 years.
Oh, gotcha.
So 88, would that be? Because I'm 36, 88-ish, somewhere in there. So they haven't beaten them since before I was born. That was the last time Indiana beat Ohio State. So the idea that it not having it, I don't know how that game's going to go. I would pick Ohio State to win, maybe Indiana to cover.
See, I'm curious to see that one probably the most. And that's not an anti-Georgia-Bama thing. That game's always proven to be good.
We kind of know how that game's going to go, right? It'll be close in one possession. Bama probably wins, and we'll see if Georgia can pull it out.
You might be right. I'd also add, Bama comes out to huge lead. Looks like they're going to blow Georgia out. Second half happens. Now it's tight. Now you're wondering, how is this happening?
Yeah.
Indiana, see, it's not that Ohio State doesn't care. Ohio State wants to be undefeated. It's, to me, like, I think Indiana's viewing this as a playoff game. Like, this is a chance for them to do something they haven't done in 30-plus years, to win something they haven't won in, what, 45?
Outright since 1945.
Like, and they're not, I don't think they're outnumber Ohio State fans, because they have.
I think they might, dude. It's that, with the proximity there. I know Ohio State fan travels well, but how many Indiana fans, how far is it from the campus to Indianapolis, first off?
Bloomington to Indy.
Right, and then how many Indiana fans live in Indianapolis?
Well, but my point is, either way, like, even if they outnumber, it's going to be either 50-50 or it's going to be, you know, 55-45, right? Sure. There's going to be Buckeye fans at that game. Yep. I think I'm the most interested in that one. And that's not a anti-North Texas to lay in all those other games. BYU, Texas Tech, we'll see if BYU can keep this one close. But
that's more of a BYU's got to prove it to me.
I kind of, if I'm an Indiana fan, I'm loving that everybody is giving Ohio State that game.
Yeah.
And I'll add this too. Less than a calendar year away, you were sitting in the position you're sitting in right now, and you were basically saying, we have a chance to finish undefeated season with Big Ten crown. And that meant a great deal to you. And then because there was a 3-week layoff, and because your first team was Ohio State who won the title, and because it was 34-0, that entire feeling you had that week just got wiped away. And I don't blame you for it. But again, going back to the point, you got to remember how you felt about this opportunity to, one, beat Penn State. That was great. And two, win a Big Ten crown year one, when everybody that year going in, for some reason, was going, I don't know if Oregon's built like this. And we were like, why is this an opinion? And it was because they were taking 2011, 2010 Ducks and saying, well, that's still Oregon. It was like, do you have a brain? Do you watch any of these games? And they went in there, and it was a bit of a, not
shootout.
Great defense. It was a fun
game. Yeah.
But you won it.
High scoring, fun game.
So I'm pretty excited. I know Ohio State and Indiana are both going to end up in the top four. I'm excited to see what the committee does with Bama if they lose. Like, how far down of the 12 do they go? BYU, Texas, are the Cougars going to be able to keep that one close? Because they weren't able last time. And then North Texas and Tulane is going to be, I think, the representative of the playoffs. So I understand some of these games don't have a lot of meaning, but I'm excited because I think some of the teams will play as if it means a lot to them. And I still like to hold on to a little bit of nostalgia of college football.
Well, I think on the Indiana-Ohio State front, too, there are a couple things there. One, I think Indiana is still, for some, living in that world of the Indiana of last year. Like, hey, when they went on the road to Columbus, the game wasn't really that competitive. Some special teams blunders blew it open in the first half. And Ohio State cruised. They led the entire game and cruised to an easy victory. And then we saw what happened to them in the playoff. But I think we learned earlier this year in Eugene that this Indiana team is a little bit different. But it's been a long time since that game was played. And so they haven't really been tested by anybody since. What's the best team that they've played since that game happened? Penn State? Because the Iowa game was before that. So to the point of like Indiana,
well, I think that was the toughest game probably.
Sure, closest game. In terms of overall talent, I would guess that was probably the best team that they played, but that's not saying a lot, right? At that point in the year, especially because their quarterback was hurt and all that. So I think Indiana still is a little bit of that for people, and I'm with you. I think they used that as a chip on their shoulder when they came to Oregon earlier this year, and we all poo-pooed it. Why doesn't this game have juice? And they were like, we'll bring the juice, and they won the game outright. And then the other side of it, too, for Ohio State is, and we kind of talked about this last week going into the Michigan game, and at early on it looked like maybe this will be tight and competitive, but we haven't seen Ohio State have to react to a tight, close, uncomfortable game in the fourth quarter. Now, maybe this isn't as uncomfortable as a playoff game is, because if they lose it, they're still the top four seed. It's not like your season is over if you are to fall. But I'm genuinely hoping that this game comes down to the wire so we get a look at how does a young quarterback who has not been in any of these moments since the opening week of the season, which feels like it was 6 years ago, how does he handle that? They're down by seven. Indiana's, you know, got the lead and they've been moving it all game, and you got to go put a drive together with 2 minutes to go. He's not been put in any of those situations. They have blown everybody out on their schedule the rest of the way, and so I'm curious to see if they are in that spot, how he reacts to it.
God, why did you do this to me? I don't want to be the guy to say this because I don't want to defend Ohio State. I disagree with that take. I think he just went through it. He was trailing to Michigan and Michigan. They haven't beaten Michigan. And then he threw a pick.
Yeah.
So like,
I think there's a drastic difference, though, first quarter and fourth quarter, and a team who can actually score points on you, and Michigan can't score points on you.
I know, but you did kind
of. I'm not saying he didn't feel any pressure.
7-0. Sure. I'm just saying, like,
the game was over halfway through the third quarter. I'm saying you need to drive with 2 minutes to go in the fourth. That's a totally different ballgame.
You're not wrong there. I think that's fair. It's the one reason I don't think Ohio State's getting to the title game. But so far I've been an idiot on that take, and God knows at this point during football season I'll probably just finish being one. But the Michigan test wasn't much of a test past a certain point to what you're saying, but also, like, we were texting in, like, live, oh my God, it's snowing, oh my God, it's 6-0, oh my God, he threw a pick.
And then you realize the quarterback on the other side can't throw a forward pass, and Ohio State's not going to lose this game. And Doza might win the Heisman Trophy this year, he's on the other side.
So that's the thing I kind of want to ask Shahan Jayaraja, right? We'll get to some of these games, how the playoff will shake out, his thoughts on Oregon going in. I kind of want to ask him to start it off, like, I think that's the Heisman game. I think the winner of that game is winning the Heisman. Unless both throw two picks and just one team runs the ball and wins the game.
Yeah.
Right now, the odds are telling us that's the Heisman. It's Sayan or it's Mendoza.
Yeah, they're the two easy favorites, and there's no Jeremiah Love game this weekend because they're not in a conference. And Simpson has been great, but I don't know if his stat line's the last handful of weeks. Maybe if he has a 4-5 touchdown game and they blow out Georgia, that's enough to do it. Because his numbers are pretty identical to what Sayan's done and what Mendoza has done. There's not that big of a difference.
I tend to agree with you, and he's the one seed in the SEC.
Yeah.
He'll get to New York. My point is, like, I think it's down to those two for the Heisman, and the winner with, like, two or three touchdowns is going to be the guy who probably gets the vote.
God, I hope Mendoza wins it over Sayan. Nothing against Sayan, but that Heisman would rub me the wrong way.
Really?
It would. He's good. There's no doubting that he is good, but he is not even the top seven player on his team.
Not even a top seven player?
No, he's not.
I'll say this, going into...
Change the quarterback scenarios. Is Mendoza killing it with Ohio State? Of course he is, right? Yeah. There's more talent on that team. He's throwing to the best wide receiver group in the country. Like, it's not even close.
Worst Heisman since when? This one's...
That'll be a fun game to play.
So let's talk to Shahan Jayaraja a little bit about that, the conference title games, his thoughts on Oregon as we get ready for our final bracket. Shahan Jayaraja, CBS Sports, national college football writer, joins us for the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and
some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
Indeed, the Daily Ticker, brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Slay your thirst with each sip of Northwest's favorite seasonal beer now at your local grocers. Pelican Brewing, they are born at the beach with five coastal locations.
Ho, ho, ho.
Now, do we have him on? Because he just texted me.
Looks like they're talking. I see Swag's mouth is moving. I believe phone call connections have been made.
The Swag will call once, and if he doesn't answer, no answer.
Don't got him. Now we got him. Looks like somebody's on hold. Okay. I think we're good to go. Thumbs up.
We had listeners say that the ballots were due Monday. That is incorrect. They were distributed Monday. They're due on the 8th.
You get to watch conference title games. A lot will be on the line for the Heisman vote this weekend.
It sounds like we got him. Shahan J. Raja, CBSSports.com, one of our favorites, national college football writer, joining us here on a Football Friday going into conference championship weekend. We got the playoff bracket that's going to get released on Sunday, so that'll be a lot of fun. Good morning, Shahan. Thank you for joining us. We always appreciate when we can get you on. I want to start with the Heisman race. I said before the break, I think it's going to come down to who wins Ohio State and Indiana between Mendoza and San. I don't know if you agree with that, but also this feels like the worst Heisman race I can remember. I don't even know what year you'd use, but there's always at least been some interest or juice in it, and it feels like this year has just kind of sucked.
Yeah, this has been a really weird year, right? Because I think that so many of the names that we thought about coming into the year have dramatically underperformed, right? Like you're thinking of, Arch Manning's kind of recovered, but obviously not Heisman level. Garrett Nussmeier ended up, kind of missing part of the season with an injury. Like, it just hasn't been a great year. Even if you want to talk about, you mentioned that we're obviously kind of having a Julian Sain conversation. Like, the best player on that offense is Jeremiah Smith, but they just don't throw him the ball all that much because they don't need to. And so, like, it does feel like, to a certain extent that we're kind of defaulting to certain guys. I think that obviously Julian Sain's a tremendous player. I think there's a really good case that he's the best quarterback in America. But, like, it just feels like people are like, well, they're the best team in the country and he has good stats, so, like, let's go that direction. And to me, as a Heisman voter, I haven't finally and firmly made up my mind regardless. Obviously, this weekend means a lot. But I just feel like you have to give me something a little more than like, hey, you won all these games that you were supposed to win and didn't have to throw any meaningful passes.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. I looking at this weekend, you've followed college football, reported on college football for a long time. Conference championship weekend used to mean something, and now there's a feeling where maybe it doesn't mean as much as it used to. Part of that for me is internally, like, I watched my team win a Big Ten title last year and then lose by 848 points in the Rose Bowl, and it felt like it didn't really matter anymore, and everybody made fun of my team for losing. Where are you at on this weekend and the excitement level for the games as maybe opposed to where you were 5 years ago?
Yeah, I still love conference championship weekend. I still think that at its core, like, college football is about taking care of your local before worrying about everything else. And, I think that it does matter to walk away with a conference championship. I mean, obviously, like you said, to go in last year and obviously have the performance that they did for Oregon was frustrating. But, like, you're going to look back in a couple of years and still be like, this was the number one team in the country. This team still won the Big Ten. We're treated as a certain level of program because we've gone out and done that. And I think that one thing that I feel has kind of diminished things is, like, I feel like the politicking right now for the playoff is just absolutely insane. I feel like that's one of the biggest dampers on the actual product that we have right now. That, that people, obviously, especially in the SEC, right, are going out there and being like, well, we're already, like, trying to set up, like, Alabama shouldn't be punished for this, or that Georgia should do this. That's the thing that I think really puts a damper on things, is that it kind of takes away internally in the own conferences from actually valuing what's happening on the field. And I think the other part too is that, and this isn't obviously necessarily something that's new, but I do think that one thing that also impacts conference championship weekend is that we have such bloated conferences that, like, if you're Miami and you see Duke win the ACC title, you're like, well, we didn't even get to play you, right? We completely missed you. So I do think that in that same sense, like, it definitely does put a damper when it doesn't feel like you're kind of, again, I mentioned taking care of your local. Well, you know, there's not a lot of local there when yeah. you aren't playing each other. But I still think it matters. I really liked in the sort of previous system that it really rewarded conference champions. I wish that we could find a way to kind of value them without necessarily doing the full first round bye thing that we did last year.
Sean J. Raja, our guest here, CBSSports.com, National College football writer. I'm with you. Do you like the idea? We toyed with, because, you know, you saw the report was Vanderbilt reached out to schedule another game to try to make an argument.
13th game. What the hell? Who wants to play this weekend?
And they reportedly reached out to Utah and Miami. It was like, hey, man, this could help both of us if we play. It didn't end up happening, of course. We like the idea that if you're going to have such bloated conferences, to your point, and you're not going to like Ohio State didn't play Oregon. Who knows? Maybe Ohio State wins that game, but what if Oregon wins? Should they be in with Indiana? Like, if we're going to have bloated conferences, do you like the idea of having past a certain number, like a play-in situation where we try to divide the top 12 from conference champions and byes to the teams at the back end? Because right now, today, everybody's screaming at each other about Notre Dame and Miami. Freeman's confused why they've slipped. Miami's like, yo, we straight beat them with the same record. How are we not ahead of them? Is there some kind of solution that's there that we eventually get to as some of these teams try to schedule a 13th game?
So, I mean, look, this is just my opinion. I mean, I really do love conference championships. And I mean, one thing that I always talk about is, especially compared to some other national writers, right? Like, I didn't go to a blue blood school. You know, I went to Baylor. And, you know, so for us, it's like getting to play for a conference championship was such a cool thing. And I love that there's spotlight on it. Like, I don't necessarily want, you know, Texas to be playing whoever at the same time slot that a conference championship is being played for. I don't necessarily want, you know, all this sort of stuff. I want there to be some spotlight on this. I think that actually, you know, because we talk about sort of the downsides of conference championships and playing this weekend, it's also like, okay, well, guess what? The fact that you didn't make it to the conference championship weekend actually hurts your case for the Heisman and things like that, and for All America, and for, you know, like you just don't get that spotlight in the same way. So I think that, you know, I do personally love that at least Vanderbilt was kind of, you know, had the anytime, any place, anywhere mentality. Like, I do love that. But, you know, I wouldn't love to kind of jump in and be like, well, actually the sixth place Big Ten team also should get a chance to play on conference championship Saturday. Like, to me, I think that kind of takes away from the point of all of this.
Yeah, I think that's a great argument that I haven't even thought of, because I'm kind of in favor of the play-in stuff, but that's a solid argument against it that I didn't even think about. I'm curious to ask you about Oregon and where they're at. I mean, they wrap up the regular season in November with 3 wins. Everybody said that November stretch is going to be tough at Iowa, at Washington, at home against USC. They handle all the tests despite being banged up, and now they're in the opposite position they were in last year, where they're sitting around and maybe going to play a Group of Five team or Virginia in the first round of the college football playoff. Where do you view them in this landscape, and how much of a serious threat are they to go on a run in the playoff?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I feel like they're almost, like you said, kind of the opposite position of last year, where I feel like they've obviously proven themselves to be a high-quality team. Their one loss was to an Indiana team that I think we all think is fantastic. And again, like, they are just one of those teams who has taken care of business at such a high level that it's almost, I think, become taken for granted. I mean, this is an Oregon team, obviously, that is tremendous in every single aspect of the game. I think that their offensive line has come along. I think that the way that they attack teams in the passing game is really, really difficult to keep up with. I think the way that they play defense is very aggressive. I mean, hey, if you want to see how much the industry values what Oregon is doing, well, both their coordinators are leaving to become Power Conference head coaches after this season. So I think this is a really good team. I've loved the growth that I've seen from Dante Moore. I mean, I remember watching him at UCLA, and to see where he was then to where he is now, I think is really, really special. And again, you know, this is a team that I also feel like, and I feel like, you know, I've said this a lot about Ohio State this year, but has a ceiling that we maybe haven't even started to tap into as yet. So I definitely view them as a potential national contender, though, again, there's probably 6 or so teams that I have in that category.
Yeah, Sean J. Araja, our guest here, CBSSports.com. What is your final prediction? Is Miami get in, or does Notre Dame get in?
Man, it's crazy, right? Because let's start with this. I mean, I think BYU should be in over both of them, to be quite honest. I mean, as an 11-1 team, higher in strength of schedule than both those teams, like they're treated like they're a two-loss team, and I don't really get why that's the case. But put that aside, because I don't think that that's going to happen, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, look, I think that you can't seriously sit down and make the case to us that you think that Miami and Notre Dame are so far apart that head-to-head shouldn't matter. Like, that's a ridiculous statement to me. Like they're two spots from each other. I don't know how you can sit here and say that they're separate tiers, which also, by the way, I mean, I don't frankly know how you can say that Alabama should have jumped Notre Dame based off of beating 5-7 Auburn, but that's a whole other conversation. Like, this is maybe the most nonsensical committee that I can remember. Like, I feel like they tend to do a pretty good job year over year, but, like, again, there are just these giant blind spots I feel like they're having right now. And, I mean, when you hear Hunter Yurecek, the CFP chair, get up there, it's like he's trying to play it for drama. Like, and maybe that's what they're doing, right? But they're like, oh, well, you know, well, if they're next to each other, maybe it's different than if they're that's crazy to me. Again, that's just a ridiculous way to handle this situation. So if it were me, like, I think the order should be BYU ahead of both of them, then Miami, then Notre Dame. I think, though, that the committee just thinks that Notre Dame is really good.
I mean, the eyeball test. Come on, how do we look past the eyeball test right now?
The eyeball that they play.
Game actually happened.
I have a piece coming out on BYU specifically and kind of what their playoff case is later today. And a line that I had in it is, it's kind of crazy how every time that the committee needs to lean on the eyeball test, they always seem to see Golden Dome.
Golden Domes look good. Last one I got for you. A lot of people who are rooting for chaos this weekend because, hey, I don't have a team involved or whatever. Like, let's just root for all this to get really nutty. Does Duke winning the ACC title game and two group of six teams getting in lead to all of this getting blown up?
Yeah, it would lead to some real, real anger, some real, real chaos. Hey, the one thing that you have to think about, too, is, okay, well, if Duke wins and then you have to put in two group of six teams, does the committee try to, like, throw a bone to the ACC by being like, all right, Miami, you're in.
Now you're better than Notre Dame. Now the eyeball test is different.
Now the eyeball test has changed for absolutely no reason. So, I think that regardless, we are in a situation where we're probably moving to 16 next year. They pushed back the deadline to make changes for the 2026 cycle back to late January after the title game. So I think that, one, when you look at the situation right now, I mean, again, when you kind of think about, like, the ACC's predicament and some of these teams that maybe feel like they have a case, like, you know, I think that they feel like 16 would solve some of this. It'll create a whole other host of problems, but I think that it'll solve some of these short-term ones. And I think the other thing, too, that the other reason that I think that we'll move to 16 as well is that I think that after last year, people aren't really into the idea of the byes as much as I thought that they would be. I mean, all four teams that had a bye last year ended up losing their first game. And I think that everybody, like, I mean, again, Oregon didn't get a home playoff game last year, and they were the number one team in the country. Like, that kind of sucks. I think that that's going to be something that ends up changing. So, you know, the thing that I don't want, I don't want the 24 team 4-4-2. Like, come on, be serious right now. Like, that is not, we don't need 24 teams playing in the playoffs. And if we do, we better have all 10 conference champions in there, which obviously we would not. So I think that ultimately we land on a 5+11 model with 16 teams.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I don't know. Every time you talk to somebody new and every time something new happens and every time Hunter Yurecek opens his mouth, something crazier happens.
There we go. Good stuff. Look for that piece. The Golden Domers getting in because, you know, they're Notre Dame. Shahan J. Raja, our good friend at CBSSports.com, joining us here on Football Friday in a preview of the conference championship games and his thoughts on Oregon and others. Give him a follow on social media and look for that piece at CBSSports.com. Thanks so much, Shahan. We enjoyed having you and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, there we go. Shahan J. Raja, our good friend, CBSSports.com. Never shy about giving an opinion about the sport.
The Golden Domers, dude. He can't say no to the Golden Domers. Chaos is BYU winning and Duke winning. That's, if BYU wins and Duke wins, Godspeed, everybody.
A lot more to get into, including the NFL. Let's go through the NFL slate. That's right around the corner. We'll spray the line today, so get the spray line sponsors in, 503-864-6326. That was the Daily Ticker brought to you by our good friends at Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. Well, we went a little long there because Dirt's got to ask every question in his brain.
Blow that thing up, man. Can I give you a bad Heisman year that I found? See if you remember it the same way I did.
Sure. Did we play? Oh, no, we played Full House earlier.
We did Full House.
TV theme day?
It just mixed in. You never know.
On a Football Friday.
Throw a curveball at you. All right. Chris Winkie in 2000 sucked for me. Like, that did nothing.
Who was the runner-up in that one?
So the 2000 Heisman finalist.
Because I remember being, what would I have been that year?
And he was like 29 years old.
I was 13, and I remember being like legitimately outraged in a living room when they talk about him as a Heisman. I'm like, he's 30 years old. This is not stupid. Fair.
The other finalists that year were Josh Heupel. Drew Brees at Purdue.
Yeah.
And LaDainian Tomlinson at TCU.
I definitely was an LT guy. And I didn't even get to watch TCU that often, but you'd see his highlights on SportsCenter. And I'm like, how is that guy not going to, how is he not the best player in college football?
The other one that for me was, Eric Crouch winning in 2001 will always be one because the way they got killed against Colorado and that just didn't count. They didn't play in a conference title game. Like, it just, that was dumb. And Harrington was a finalist. But then you go back and look at his numbers and it was like, that was Heisman numbers?
Now, Eric Crouch has probably the worst Heisman winning numbers of any quarterback to ever win the award.
I think it's an embarrassment. Like, he couldn't throw the ball.
He had 10 touchdowns and 11 picks or something like that.
And then he probably had 15 rushing touchdowns, but even then it's only a total of 25. Yeah. Like, it wasn't that good. The other one that I remember, Troy Smith winning in 2006. I remember being like,
that's a good
really?
One.
Troy Smith?
That's a good one.
The other finalist that year, Darren McFadden at Arkansas.
Dude, he was awesome.
He was awesome. Brady Quinn at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Steve, you loved him, though.
I did in college. I thought he'd be a good pro. Yeah. Steve Slayton at West Virginia and Mike Hart, the Michigan running back. Those were your Heisman finalists in 06.
It's funny to hear these names in the finalists and go back to, like, do I remember how I felt? I absolutely wanted Slayton to win because I loved watching
who didn't
West
love
Virginia?
West Virginia in that run. Everybody was a West Virginia fan in that moment.
Was Rich Rod still, had he left yet?
He
the
was still there
time?
He was, okay. He didn't leave until
a
couple
of
years. Well, he went
07 or 08.
Or where'd he go?
He
first?
Went to Michigan first, and then flamed out at Michigan.
I think it was 07 he left because Bill Stewart took over.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Also 2000, I just remembered
2008 was his first year at Michigan.
Being angry about Winkie and then being also
probably equally outraged Tuyasa Sopo wasn't a finalist.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Because they ended up beating Drew Brees in the Rose Bowl that year.
They did. And that's the other part of it when you see the winners. Some of it, like Troy Smith got killed in the national title game. They played Florida, and that was the Chris Leak, Tim Tebow coming in running goal line stuff, and Florida just beat the brakes off.
And here's the ironic part. I was watching, it was on PTI yesterday. So you had, you know, Will Bond and Kornheiser looking back. So yesterday was the anniversary of Herschel Walker winning his in 1982.
Probably the last year both those guys watched college football. Given some of the takes I've seen Wilbon have.
You're not wrong there.
So first of all, Herschel had finished in the top three the previous 2 years. So he's the only collegiate player to finish top three, be a finalist for three consecutive years. He beat out John Elway and Eric Dickerson. Those were your finalists in 1982.
Pretty good finalists.
Pretty good class right there. Pretty good class of Heisman. A little bit different than this year.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. Like, it's nice to kind of be reminded about it, that you have, I mean, the award itself, a listener was like, does it mean anything anymore? And I'd say it just depends on the year.
Depends on who wins it, and if your school's involved. Like, if your school wins a Heisman Trophy, yeah, that still means something, man.
I also don't think it's as much program television to watch speeches. You can either go look for it on YouTube, or you can just choose to not really care that they're going to thank God, their mom, and their coaches. But I do think, like, last year's was fun between Hunter and Genty.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, Haynes King should be in New York.
He absolutely should.
He's doing statistically things that have only been done by four other players since 1956. We gave it to the guy last year, and they were 9-3.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole win-loss thing is stupid because it literally didn't apply last year.
No, it didn't apply to RG3. Some guys have been able to do it.
But it's probably going to be Mendoza saying Simpson and Love. But I do think the Tech linebacker should be there.
He should be there. Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt's had a great year for them to go 10-2. He talked a lot of trash in the offseason, and they backed it up.
I think Haynes King should be there over Pavia.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
You know, I think we need to give some recognition to
the team. I think both of them should be there over Julian Sain. Him being the favorite is really dumb.
It's ridiculous.
Like,
wonder how you did that.
It's like giving Jalen Hurts the MVP. Nobody would ever do it.
No, it'd more likely go to Barkley.
Yes, it would.
Loaded third hour of the program. Let's dive into some NFL. A team could win this weekend that would blow Dirt's mind. I don't think Dirt would know how to register it, how to feel about it. We'll dive into some NFL stuff. Loaded third hour of the program. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.